You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Happy Thursday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Law back with us spinning the dials. Feels like we just left.
It does feel like we just left.
We did.
Here, and also, you shouldn't say the word nudity as we're like 4 seconds down in the countdown because it really messes me up.
Nudity.
I'm very distracted right now.
We get distracted on our timeline. We tweet something out and all of a sudden, there's distractions.
Oh, yes. That's what it was about. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you not hear what we were saying?
Locker room nudity.
We were talking about Elon's random nudity.
Yes. Some TV show.
The
I
evolution
be
of the bots.
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably some of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about today. Maybe next week. But hey.
Maybe
we
if
were
they go
just
down
here.
4-0 in the first 2 minutes, that's what we'll talk about.
We do want to actually thank the Blackhawks, though, for giving us some news items to talk about today.
Yes.
So we never, ever have to speak of last night's game again.
No one asked Luke about last night, which was refreshing.
Yeah.
What else are you supposed to say?
He was on his way to go spend a couple hours in the dental chair, so he's got enough.
Sound fun.
He's got enough punishment for today anyway. So
he was in his... His cool dad T-shirt.
Yeah,
is that what that is? I was looking at that. I was like, I don't think I.
He was showing off the.
No, you can't.
He was showing off the tats.
Lucas.
T-A-T-S.
Lucas jacked. Like Lucas.
That was his. I might get into a bar fight later.
Yeah.
Outfit. Yeah. That's his going out outfit.
He does not need a compression shirt under
his
T-shirt.
His casual shoes.
I didn't see
his
shoes.
He's got a pair that I got to figure out where he
got
those.
Are they Hoka? Are they that other brand that I don't know what is?
On Clouds?
Brands.
See,
that's
look at me
one.
Knowing stuff, Emma.
On
See?
Clouds?
Yeah.
Work Dad is cool.
What are the On Clouds?
What are they?
Yeah.
It's like an O and
is
a
Is it its
C.
own brand or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's its own brand.
Oh, the O and the C. Okay, I've seen those. Oh,
and
okay.
I never knew what the hell it was. It was just like, what is the logo?
I got a pair of Hokas a few years ago when I wanted to get back into running more regularly. And
imagine
they are so comfy, and I haven't run regularly in a while, but I still wear them. They're great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I tried a pair of On Clouds on, too narrow. And I was in a store called JD, and they're like, old man, please leave this place, you're ruining the vibe. I'm like, okay, I'll shop somewhere else.
Back to the
I'll go to TJ Maxx.
Do they leave sell these at Kohl's?
Eventually, someday, they will. Anyway, that's not why you're here.
No.
Some good news today, folks. First of all, Connor Murphy was literally moments ago activated off of injured reserve.
Activated. He's back.
So he will play on Saturday.
Friday.
Friday, thank you. As will Ethan Del Mastro.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yep.
Very exciting.
That was unexpected, I think, for a lot of people, including Ethan Del Mastro himself, that he got the call up here. But, I mean, it is the final two home games of the year. He's had a tremendous season as a rookie.
All-star?
AHL All-star. It is a nice little pat on the back and said, hey, great job this year. Come up to the NHL, you know, hang around with the NHL guys for a few days, get in there and play and you know, see what he can show off in two games, from where he was at the beginning of this year in training camp to where he's at now. I think the Blackhawks have a vested interest in what that looks like for him.
Yeah, I believe Luke referred to it as a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everybody likes cookies.
I wanted to know what kind of cookie.
Any, whatever his favorite cookie
Snickerdoodle?
Is.
Snickerdoodle?
Maybe.
Chip is the goat.
That is what I'll... I will make a note to ask Del Mastro tomorrow at Morning Skate. What is the cookie that you would choose?
Obviously, you got snickerdoodle, obviously chocolate chip.
Obviously.
Obviously, oatmeal raisin, sometimes just oatmeal, obviously.
Yeah, oatmeal chocolate chip's pretty good.
You got the Mrs. Fields cookie cake.
I like the peanut butter where you press the fork in the top.
Oh, yeah.
Potbelly sugar cookie. I mean, that's...
Yeah, did not make it firm.
It's hard to go wrong with the... the butter finger, the butter cookies that you could put on your pinky finger.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Those
are still
shortbread.
Salernos. Those are still good.
Not to be confused with
not the devil pizza. Yeah. All right. Boy,
anyways,
we are just not focused
off
today.
The rails.
No. Frosted oatmeal says Dr.
We did 4 hours of hockey talk last night.
This is Luke Richardson's fault that we just can't focus on hockey to start the show.
He didn't prepare us. He mentioned food.
He didn't prepare us enough today. It's his fault.
Yeah, you're right.
We have to suck it up. Play a full 60.
All right, why don't we hear from Connor Murphy first. He'll be back Friday, and that's very good. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what he had to say, because it's been a long time since we've heard
it
from the Hawks.
It was a lively
captain.
Locker room, so there is some background noise, but you can hear Connor pretty well.
All right, good.
I am, yeah. Okay, how are you feeling? Feel good, ready to go. Yeah, it's been too long, so it's nice. The last test is just getting in the game and see how it lasts the whole game.
Is this more excitement or relief at this point?
It's both. It's relief, but it's still like disappointment to miss so much time. You know, there's only 4 games left now, and I wish I would be able to come back a lot earlier. But it would have been, it's just nice to play and go into, hopefully stay healthy for those games, go into the summer feeling good.
Did you ever consider just since it's this close to the end of the season, just kind of sitting out through the rest of it?
That was an option brought up, but I didn't really want that. I mean, we've had some losing seasons here, and that's happened before. I had a bad concussion a couple years ago where we played it safe, and I started to feel good toward the last couple games and ended up not playing out of safety for the head stuff, and I didn't really like that, and didn't want to be able to play. If you're healthy and feel good enough to play, then play. And there'd be a lot of wasted games in your career, I feel like, if I tried to think that way all the time, so I just want to be able to play on a healthy
level. Are you feeling 100%?
I think so, yeah, 100%. I feel fully capable of everything I'm doing on the ice. And, there's always going to be a little bit of soreness, I think, but as long as it's not pain, then I'm happy with that.
Was there any setbacks? Did it take longer than you were expecting?
It took longer. There wasn't any extra setbacks. It just took longer than expected. I'd have days off the ice where I was just hanging out, resting, and it felt really good. I would wake up with no pain and feel 100%, and then I'd start working out and activating the hip areas around my hip, and it would turn into pain again. So there's just a lot of kind of false hope, I'd say, where I felt I was okay, and then I'd start to test it and it would hurt. So just a long time of that, of waking up every day, wishing that was that day that was going to turn the page, and it just didn't.
Do you think that it was attributed to any particular reason? Did the doctors tell you
that it didn't heal? It's a weird injury. No one has a specific timeline. Everyone has different ways of healing and different even symptoms that come from it. I talked to Logan Couture, actually, who had it in San Jose. He's been out all season with it. He played like 6 games this year. And his came back after he tried to play a few games. So it's cool to have different resources that people have been through the injury and kind of hear everyone's case and what different treatments they do and their different ways of healing.
Yeah, that sounds frustrating as well.
Yeah. He had it really rough, and his pain level sounded way worse than mine, but it was just a confusing injury that is frustrating, I think, when guys don't know a specific way to heal it in a specific timeline.
But frustrating for you too. I mean, you said that you woke up, you'd feel fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have days. I remember specifically after the bye week, I was going through the bye week thinking I was going to come back and play the first day back, and then as soon as I'd start to pull with my groin or do stuff in the gym, it would just hurt. And so it's just like you try different things, and certain days are better than worse, but there was always a little bit of reminder that the injury was still there. So yeah, just 2.5 months of waking up every day hoping that was a day. It almost would have been better if you just knew a distinct timeline to not think about it and go forward with it. Not that bad. It was just, I mean, when I tried to, I had a few games before the last game I sat out where I had pain and was pushing through it, and it was like every day in between I was like kind of limping around, walking. It hurt on my hip to try to even walk, and then it didn't take long for that pain to go away where I could walk smoothly, but it was more just getting out of bed and off the couch where you'd pull your leg over and your groin would activate and it would hurt. So, but that, like I said, that didn't last too long. That's why I was optimistic he was going to come back way earlier.
Gone a long time. How much has the team changed since you last played?
Well, I mean, the roster's not that much different, but it's still around every day and trying to hang out with the guys around the room. But obviously, we have a mixture of young guys coming in and out. It's exciting to see what they can do. And obviously, not the season we wanted, and it's still very frustrating the losses we've had the last couple years now. And you just try to keep reminding yourself to work through as a team and get better in every way you can to get past this bad stretch of ours.
Sorry, this one's so good.
No, I was just going to say, did you learn something about the team while you were having the bird's eye view of it?
Just the takeaways you have from games and the team overall. There's nothing, I don't know if there's anything you learn specifically. You just watch tendencies, and sometimes you even watch other players and other teams. You try to watch games and see the good teams that are playoff teams, what they're doing, and different habits that they're, especially for me as a defenseman, watching other guys to see how they can play.
Sorry if this was already asked, but there's a fair share of guys on this roster that have had setbacks with injuries this year for longer than they expected. Yeah. Anyone that you kind of really related with at all during your time?
I think perspective is a big key when you're out hurt, and a guy like Taylor Hall, who had that injury, the ACL is one of the worst you could have, and what he's been able to having to do coming on a new team, having a kid to start the year, and not being able to be a part of things and get to really gel and mesh with the team and insert yourself in the lineup every night. He's had a hard go and had a great attitude and been able to bond with him off the ice. And I think he's been definitely a good guy for everyone to see how hard it can be and how much those big surgeries, how long they take. And Brian, you show up consistently when no one's around, the team's not around, no one's there working out with you and push through scar tissue and the strengthening. And he's definitely been a guy that's been out and been there for everyone.
When did you start feeling 100% again?
It's hard to say. I mean, when I started skating the last like 2 weeks, I'd say I felt 100%. You're just monitoring. You're testing every step of the way. You're testing sprinting, stops and starts, pivoting, battling, conditioning. There's like so many different steps you have to pass along the way to get to 100% and know that it's strong enough to withhold that. So I think a couple weeks ago is when I started confident that I was going to continue to progress to the point of being able to play.
How much of that is just the mental side of feeling like you can let loose in the groin after you've had so many starts and stops?
It's both. Mentally, it's good to get confident, but it's also mentally tough. Sometimes you want to push through it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us tend to err on the side of wanting to just be okay with some pain and play. But the trainers are there to make sure to rope you in and make sure you know that you got to be at a certain level of tolerance and strength to not push through that. And then at that point, you can build into confidence and not thinking about it when they go.
Do you know who you're going to be paired with?
I don't know. I was playing with Del Mastro and some of the practice drills. So that would be cool if we get to play with him. He's had an unbelievable year in the minors this year so far. And big, strong defensive line with great hands. This seems to be a key consistency with us. We have Vlasic and him. And it's amazing. Those big guys, when I was their age, was pretty clumsy. He was still a little clumsy. But it's been impressive at that young age what those guys can do. Let's see what they can do in the lineup.
Boy, it is good to see Connor Murphy back.
Yeah.
He is a, first of all, really good dude. A good defenseman, and he makes the team better. And we were saying while he was talking, like, this could be the best this roster has been since opening day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as far as injuries go, there's been so much taken away from this team, especially with Murphy missing what felt like half the season. Bedard being out for a while, Seth Jones being gone for a while, Taylor Hall not being available for basically all year. Basically minus Taylor Hall and then not having Corey Perry, like, yeah, this will be probably the most talented roster that they've had since that first week of the season.
Seems like half the season, you said. It pretty much was. He's been out since January 13th.
Wow. Jeez.
And played 43 games. So, yeah
nearly half
the season.
Half the season.
3 months he's been out from, I remember the morning after that January 13th game where Luke was like, oh, he's just going to miss this next game.
Yeah, right.
He'll be fine. And then
it just got.
Yeah, just didn't work. A lot of good insight from Connor there about what he had to deal with. Seems like he and Athanasiou kind of, I'm not saying the same injury, but the
similar,
same kind of
sure,
frustrating
process.
Recovery
yeah.
Where you feel like you're ready to go, and then the next day it's not working for you. So that's got to be super, like, any of us get, like, a nagging, like, injury, we're fine. Like, we bitch and moan about it.
I'm just hurt for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
but like, it doesn't
do anything to remedy it.
It doesn't affect us, our daily life. Like, no, I have to stay on the couch today. Well, I was going to do that anyway.
Right, exactly.
But like, when you're a professional athlete and your whole life is your ability to like ice skate and you can't do it, that's just got to be so just a mental strain on you.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the fact too that they said, you know, did you think about just shutting it down? He's like, I don't want to do that. There's games left.
Yeah.
I want to get back. I want to play. I totally understand that. So,
yeah.
I'm glad he's back. If you're glad he's back, do us a favor and smash that like button for us. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page as well. And if you're listening on a podcast later in the day, that's cool too. Make sure you are following or subscribed. And if you got 30 seconds for us, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. And that's part of the like the mental game of, or the mental aspect of those professional athletes is like they want to play as much as possible.
Yep.
So you know, coming to them being like, "Oh, you could just shut it down." It's just like that's never going to be their first option unless it is like this injury and recovery process will take you out for the year. They're going to try and come back as quickly as they can, obviously as safely as they can too. But for Murphy, it's just like one of those injuries where, as you heard him say, like he'd wake up and be like, maybe today's the day. And then he'd like lift his leg to get out of bed and be like, nope, not today. Like just one of those things that's just like,
that's me every morning for the last 12 years.
Just like, it's hard to overcome those things where it's just like, you never know how your body's going to respond to it.
It's brutal.
So glad to see that he's going to be back.
Yep, for sure.
And with Murphy being back in the lineup, maybe that makes a little bit of a difference on the old, money lines on Circa.
Yeah.
If you want to put down some money with Circa on the Blackhawks, be my guest. And you want to do it with Circa because they're the best sports book around. They have tight money line splits and they boast their low hold model. For example, Circa will strive to keep games at a -110 split on their menu, unlike other books who may have a -115 or -120 split on the same game. Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets compared to other books. And compared to other books, they don't limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike those other inferior books who do limit the winning players. Circa encourages everyone to download and explore all the different sports betting apps available. Compare the lines and see that you're always going to get the best from Circa. And their customer service sets them apart because there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike those other books who use chatbots.
Ooh,
no nudity with those chatbots. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. Sign up today. Be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. And of course, if someone you know or you yourself may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB, G-A-M-B, to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
And with all the winnings you make on Circa, go to a sporting event, go to a theater event, and do it with our friends at Game Time, because those other ticket sales places, they suck. They steal your hard-earned money. With Game Time, it's transparent. You know what you're going to pay. You know you're going to get a great deal. You should not have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. They've got last-minute deals, all-in prices, and views from your seat, and, of course, their best price guarantee. Two Hawks home games remain. And, boys, tomorrow's game looks like a hot ticket.
Tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah.
Friday night game. Like, let's have some fun.
The return of Connor Murphy, the debut of Ethan Del Mastro.
Yeah.
You want to get out there, go to Game
Always
Time.
Always exciting Nashville Predators.
Always.
Hey.
Always exciting. Well, they are kind of exciting this year.
They're going to the playoffs.
Screw them.
One of us here predicted that.
You did. That's correct. Greg did.
One of us
also predicted Lucas Reichel would be the team's leading scorer, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yes.
So go, yeah. And then what's how's Carolina looking? How's that game looking on Game Time?
On Sunday.
I think a little bit cheaper
that
on Sunday.
A little cheaper, Sunday, although I don't know why.
It's,
$41.
Yeah, 41.
Damn, get you in the building.
See,
Tavo's last game and regular season game is a non-Blackhawk.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, go check it out. Oh, do me a favor, just for fun. Click on the Masters. I'm just curious.
Oh, Masters?
Okay. Yeah, right
there. To go to the Masters.
I wonder what it was.
Ethan
and this,
Del
these
Mastro.
Will be the cheapest ones you can get
the,
in the world.
Go to Sunday.
Oh, no.
Sunday at the Masters to get into the tournament.
$1,600.
$1,600.
Yeah. I would do that if I had $1,600 and a wife that wouldn't murder me.
Most of the people who are like hardcore well, look at that view. People look have at that kind view. Of money anyway.
You sit right in a sand trap. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, wow. Hey, you know what? Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time, whatever event you're looking for. Download the Game Time app, make your account, use the code CHGO. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, make your account, use the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
That, I would love to go to the Masters, but I don't have that kind of scratch.
I have a friend who, like, this couple, they've gone, like, met, like, 10 times.
Must be
because
nice.
They have a connection down there. And, I mean, once you're in there, it's super cheap.
Yeah, like, everything's like food, $2-3
bucks. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, because you're dropping that much money just to get there.
My uncle's gone. My aunt and uncle have gone for, like, the par 3 tournament day.
I'd love to go. I want one of those pimento cheese sandwiches one of these days.
Ugh.
Going to...
What? I don't like pimento.
Have you not had the... pimento mac and cheese at honey butter fried chicken on the main side?
I'm not into pimento cheese.
But
I like pimento cheese.
I didn't even know what it really was, and I had that mac and cheese. It's unreal. It's so good.
Never had it.
I mean, pimentos, you know, the little red things in the olives. It's
a little tart for me. We all like our stuff.
Yeah.
I went to the, what was the big, I mean, this is years ago, probably 20 years ago. There was a big tournament in Olympia Fields. Was that the U.S. Open?
Might have been.
Perhaps.
I went to that with my dad was a marshal, and I went with my grandpa, which was very cool.
Wow.
And we just waited at one green because we just wanted to see Tiger, and he walked right past us.
That's cool.
Oh,
it was very cool.
Yeah, I was at the Western Open. I mean, I went multiple times, but back at Cog Hill, and I remember Tiger's dad walking right by us by the 16th. I was like, holy shit, that was Earl.
Yeah.
Because, like, we were following him. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, we actually were part of the crew that rushed up the 18th fairway.
Oh, cool.
It was awesome shot in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And we were not on it. I was like, I was like, we were just to the left.
That was an amazing photo.
Speaking of golf,
Hawks will be doing it in a week.
Keep your calendars open for CHGO golf events this summer.
That's right.
Events, plural.
That was a lot of fun last year.
It was.
I'm looking forward to it again.
I'm excited.
Buy a cool CHGO golf shirt. Look at that. It's beautiful.
There it is, chgolocker.com. Let's talk a little bit about Ethan Del Mastro, because I know we're around the team. We talk about it all the time, but we probably have some people, including Mark, who says, who's this Del Mastro kid? Well, let's tell him.
He's the guy that does this.
That's the Del Maestro.
Wrong guy.
Yeah, Ethan Del Mastro, 2021 fourth round pick by the former GM of the Blackhawks. Big, rangy, physical defenseman, two-way guy, I would categorize him, even though his offensive abilities haven't really been, like, the main focus of his game as he's progressed through juniors and now into the AHL level. He's always had that little ability to him. And he spoke today about, you know, being in Rockford and getting that opportunity to be on the power play and let those skills that he has in the offensive zone shine. But his bread and butter of his game is going to be being more of a shutdown guy, good in his own zone, physical in front of the net. We talked about him during prospect camp two summers ago, where it was just like he looked just bigger and stronger than everybody else that was there.
He looked like an NHL player had shown up to play with the prospects.
Yeah. No need to worry about his firmness, as Anders Sorensen would categorize it. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he does in these two games. He's expected to play both Friday and Sunday, and you know, he's over a half point per game player as a rookie in the AHL, like as a defenseman. That's really promising to see.
Scott Wheeler of The Athletic published his prospect rankings end of February, updated them. He has Del Mastro as a Hawks' fifth-rated prospect. Here are some things he had to say about his offensive game. He's never lacked offensive talent, but his execution and decision-making with the puck were inconsistent earlier in his career. With better choices and increased reps, he's actually demonstrated above-average tools with the puck for a 6'4 defender these last three seasons. He says he's developed a real assuredness to his game, and I think he might have moved his projection from a third-pairing defenseman to a top-four defenseman. Hey. The Blackhawks have a number of young depth defenseman types who've played NHL games this season, and I anticipate Del Mastro will leapfrog some of them sooner or later. For the record, he's got Lucas Reichel as number four, Sam Renzel as number three, number two is Frank Nazar, number one, Oliver Moore. According to Scott Wheeler, that was written in February. I think February 24th was the date on this one.
Yeah, guys like Ethan Del Mastro kind of are further down on a lot of the prospect guys' rankings a lot because he's not he'll always get overlooked in favor of the dynamic puck moving skating offense. Your Kevin Korchinski's, your Sam Renzel's, those are the sexy defensemen that the your pundits, your scouts, everybody. Those are the guys you want. Everybody wants Cale Makar, but there's only one Cale Makar.
Damn it.
Ethan Del Mastro is not that guy. He's not that dynamic skater, but he is. He's got good size. Mm-hmm. He's not a bad skater. He's just not a game changer with his feet. But he's big. He's physical. And he does have that offensive ability, too. I mean, he's been really good on the power play in Rockford. I know he leads all defensemen in assists in Rockford. And I think he's third overall on the team in assists. I'd have to double-check that, but at least that's what it was. I mean, and he's one of the only, up until this past week, he was the last remaining Rockford IceHawk to play in every game this year. Nobody else had. Him and Nolan Allen were the only two until Allen got hurt. So
that's great.
He's durable, and, you know, it's real good for him to get up here. And I know we give he who shall not be named a lot of crap, and rightfully so, but when you look at his last couple drafts,
his last draft might end up being
his last two were pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go back, you know, the 2018 draft overall was crap, but Philip Kurshev in the fourth round looking like a good pick. Alex Vlasic was drafted in the second round
2019.
In 2019. Yeah. The rest of that draft is kind of meh. And then you look 2020. First round, Lucas Reichel, jury's still out. Drew Commesso in the second round. Third round, Landon Slaggart and Wyatt Kaiser. Fifth round, Isaac Phillips. Seventh round, Louis Crevier.
Yeah.
Already gotten a lot of tread out of that draft class at the professional level. 2021,
all of those guys.
Yeah, even
three years out have played professionally.
Yeah, and the other two guys that I didn't mention have played with the IceHogs, defenseman Michael Krudel and Chad Yetman. They've all spent time.
Oh, yeah, forgot about Yetman.
So, and then you look at 2021, Nolan Allen in the first round, probably a reach.
Yeah.
Everybody said it was a reach at the time, 32nd overall. I probably could have got him second or even maybe third round, but still looks like he's going to be a solid player. Colton Dock, second round. Del Mastro in the fourth round. Ilya Safonov in the sixth round, if he ever comes over from Russia, could be a nice little pick. And you also had Jalen Lipin in the seventh round and Victor Schoenberg in the fourth round. So his last couple drafts before, you know,
leaving,
before being told to
resign,
sign this letter of resignation, not too shabby. But here's the difference, though. You now have a organization philosophy of taking your time with your young players and investing in Rockford and making them important.
Playing the long game,
Where had he, who shall not be named, still been in charge, would some of these guys already been here?
You know, probably.
Kirby Dach never would have been traded, so you know he would have tried to get those guys together in the NHL as quickly as possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you've got these talented young players, but now you have a front office that believes in proper development and not just get them up here as quickly as possible.
There have been, since that change, there have been tweaks to the scouting and the development departments too. So it's not just the person at the top is different. It's top down. There's some differences. There's been changes made. There's been philosophy changes, and I think it's all having what, 2 years now of those guys, those prospects under that program, I guess would be the word. Yep. Like we've seen how that has helped these guys.
You mentioned, by the way, Del Mastro's assists. He's second on the team in Rockford with 30 behind Brett Cini. Scoring wise, he is fourth on the team behind Cini, Gust, Gutman. 59 for Cini, 41 for Gust, 40 points for Gutman, 37 for Del Mastro. Yeah. So there
and
you go.
And that's not something I expected, because you his offensive game has always been overlooked because he's plays so well defensively. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect almost 40 points in his rookie season. In the AHL, that's amazing. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that kind of progresses. I think Ethan Del Mastro is a guy that has a real good shot of being on the opening night roster next season. But we'll see. You know, it's going to be tough to crack. I think there's only going to be like one spot up for grabs. Possibly two, but most likely just one, depending on what they do free agency wise.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be Murphy and Del Mastro together, though we can't really be 100% sure because Alex Vlasic did not practice today.
Yeah,
he had a maintenance day. Him. Luke Richardson said he's fine, but
heard that before.
Yeah, exactly. He also said Connor Murphy was fine, and
well,
he was dead for 3 months.
Hopefully, it's not
right.
That.
It was just a maintenance day.
He did.
He said he got a little. He was a little sore after that. You know, he had a little quote said, fight last night.
Said he
night
got mixed and, up in a
in that
little
that,
scrum
that late game scrum. So we'll see. He says he has not decided who's coming out of the lineup. He won't make that decision tomorrow, but I think we have a pretty good idea.
If
Murphy and Del Mastro are coming in and playing together and Vlasic is fine, doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out who's coming out of the lineup, and rightfully so. But it just sounds like Del Mastro is going
to
play these two home games
and then go
Friday
back
and Sunday, and he'll go back for the last weekend of the regular season, get ready for those playoffs.
Yeah, we have a Minnesota Wild fan in here trolling us.
I love it. I love it. I mean, like, shout out to Kirby Puckett. I love that
what
avatar.
What are you doing, Burrow? Like,
no, that's fine.
It's count great. The banners, pal.
That's fine.
Good Enjoy thing. Your no playoffs and picking in the middle of draft again.
Yeah.
Average forever.
That's fine.
Anyways.
Paul Stastny.
Let's take him into the break zone.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Maybe we'll buy some bacon anyway.
The zone of breaking.
I'm doing Coors.
Yeah, Coors is first.
Nope.
Is
oh, yeah, it is.
Jesus, dude.
Hey. I got new glasses. Leave me alone. Coors Light. See, I must need one. I haven't had one. I have this caffeine instead of the ABV next to me. Maybe that's the problem. When it's time to chill, when it's time to relax, when it's time to slow your ass down, crack open a nice, cold Coors Light. See, I'm just doing it mentally. I'm mentally drinking a Coors Light right now. My pace is slowing. My heart race is only like twice as high as it's supposed to be. Just thinking about Coors Light makes you chill. It is the perfect beer when that's what you need. It is perfect cold refreshment. And you know when those mountains turn blue on that can or on that bottle, or if you got one of those cool aluminum cups like we have, it's as cold as the Rockies and it's ready to drink. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light's the beer that we reach for here. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door right now with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, and if you have a favorite shirt and you spill some Coors Light all down the front of it and it leaves a stain, well, that's where our pals at CD One Price Cleaners enter the scene. They've got low prices. Customers can save 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD One Price Cleaners. Other cleaners charge a different price for every type of garment. Plus, they have upcharges, and you may pay a different price each time you visit. At CD One Price Cleaners, they charge one low price for any garment. Yep, even your sports jerseys, the same one low price.
CD1 price clearance.
Also has your Mario. Acknowledge CD1 price.
Acknowledging it. I will acknowledge them.
CD1 price clearance has your order ready the same day or next. Other cleaners could take 2 to 4 days to have your garments ready. And by then, you forgot you even owned that shirt. So having a rapid response keeps stuff in your closet. They're going to CD1 price clearance will also send you a text alert. It will say something like, hey, your stuff's ready. Come and get it.
Yes.
We don't have the room for it. They offer a wide variety of services, dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blankets and comforters, tailoring and alterations, leather cleaning for Jay's Chaps, and area rug cleaning. So visit
great job.
chgo.cdone.com. Once there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or an online pickup and delivery coupon options. That's chgo.cdone.com.
Chaps are cheaper because they're assless.
That's true. Less
it's
material.
Less to wash.
Yeah.
Especially on mine. The conversation from the Wild fan about Connor Bedard's in there about how he's breakable, sir or ma'am. I don't want to assume. Connor Bedard is shredded. The last thing he needs to worry about is being brittle. He had his jaw broken.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a shrinking violet by any means. Yeah. He's probably as cut as anybody in that Hawks locker room.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Somebody from Minnesota talking out of their ass. Yeah, big surprise.
That's fine. Just hit the like button. Thank
Can't
you.
Can't wait for this stupidness to be over.
I mean, you guys are playing in as many playoff games as we are this year, so.
Yeah.
But don't worry. You've got better plus-minus numbers.
Oh, I forgot about that angle.
Yeah.
True. Anyway.
Anyway.
I know Region Rev is saying ignore the trolls.
You know
sometimes it's fun
you know
to make
who
fun
is
of them, though.
Big and muscular, Ethan Del Mastro.
That's true. I like that they gave him this reward, too.
Yeah.
Of like, I mean, hey, man, you've done a great job. A lot of guys have gotten a chance when maybe, I mean, I don't think, not to say that he's complaining by any means, but you see Crevier go up and guys that he's probably ahead of on the depth chart go up. And, you know, it's really nice to have that reward for him. And the fact that Luke, like, flat out called it a cookie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a reward for the kid. Like, yeah, he's done everything we've asked him to do. So why not give him a shot? 2 games? Great. Love it.
Well, they did the same thing with Vlasic last year. You know,
yeah.
He played most of the season in Rockford and then came up a couple of games at the end of the year. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to give those kinds of guys that opportunity because other guys see that and be like, hey, you know, if you want to get to this level, if you want to, you know, show that you're putting in the work, doing the right things, listening to the coaches, you know, working on what you need to do to get better, to get to that level. If you're doing it all right, you're eventually going to get there. And Del Mastro has put in that work. He's done everything that he's been asked to do in Rockford. And now he's getting this reward. And we talked about it a little bit ago. He's going to be in that mix for the 1 to 2 defensive roster spots that are going to be open going into next year's training camp. And I would put him and Kaiser real close with the front runners for that that spot, one of those spots.
I wonder, does this, we talked about this a little bit yesterday during the watch along, does the fact that he got recalled change your projection of where you projected depth chart to be in terms of who might be favored? I still think it's Kaiser, Del Mastro, Allen is what I said last night. I still think I believe that.
I would still believe that's the case.
Yeah, I think so.
Kaiser's been up a lot this year. Yeah. So
I think, you know, Kaiser and Del Mastro are your front runners, and Allen is a dark horse. Kaiser's been here. He got brought back up, played well, and now going back to Rockford for the playoffs. Excited to be going to Rockford. Yeah. I mean, when have you ever heard that in this organization? I'm excited to get back down there because they got something good brewing down there. They're going to be a tough out in the Calder Cup playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had a super chat earlier asking about that segue.
Yes.
P3 Arizona, afternoon, gents. I am traveling to Milwaukee, Rockford, Downers Grove for work April 21st to 26th. When do the AHL playoffs start? Hoping to catch a game. There isn't a date yet, but the Ice Hogs won't be playing in that time frame.
No.
The season ends that Sunday, which is the 21st. And they're most likely not going to be in that play-in series, which means they won't be playing that week. But if you...
I don't think any hockey's going to be
probably
played.
Not. Yeah. But if you're in the Chicago... If you, that the 22nd, April 22nd, if you're going to be... That the night you're going to be in the Downers Grove area, you can just take Ogden Avenue all the way into the city.
That'll be fast.
And we're actually going to be hanging out at... we're going to be hanging out at the hockey bar, watching Stanley Cup playoffs that night. So we're just going to hang out. There should be four games on that night. It's not an official party, but we're just telling you that's where we're going to be after our show. So come join and watch hockey.
Pending our future location.
And as Chris Dubiel, the wonderful PA announcer, says, the 21st, Rockford is at the Wolves to close out the season. That's the Sunday at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, the Mont of Roses.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go check out the Ice Hog then. That's probably your only action. But come hang out with us at the barn on the 22nd and watch good hockey for
that's
a change.
That's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to the playoffs this year. They're going to be awesome. We sort of talked about it last night. I don't forget if it was during a watch-along or post-game, but there's so many ways this can go.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... There's teams that I think are better, but the way the playoffs stack up and the matchups in the first round, like, you're going to get awesome teams eliminated in the first round. It is inevitable. It's inevitable every year. But it, like, geez, like, there's some hellacious matchups coming in the first round.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit during the watch along last night. You know, those two teams fighting out, the Kings and the Golden Knights. They're fighting out for who's in third place in the Pacific, who's the second wild card. And third place in the Pacific wins a first-round matchup with the Edmonton Oilers. And if you're the second wild card, you get either the Stars or Avalanche.
Neither of those sound fun.
Yeah, no, those are not rewards for either scenario. So, I mean, you could possibly have the reigning, defending Stanley Cup champions with everybody magically being cheered April 20th.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, everybody all of a sudden is going to be perfectly healthy. They may have to take on the President's Trophy-winning Dallas Stars.
Could be.
So you're either going to have the best team in the West or your defending champs knocked out in round one.
Yeah,
pretty
so
crazy.
I just pulled this up. If it started today, Dallas, Vegas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Nashville, Edmonton, L.A.,
LA.
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 Boston, Tampa.
Oh.
Florida, Toronto.
Sheesh.
Rangers, Caps, Hurricanes, Islanders.
That bottom half is kind of.
Yeah.
But that top half could be
top
fun.
Half. Yeah.
I mean, do we see Boston getting bounced in the first round again by a team from Florida?
It could happen.
It could happen.
It could certainly happen.
Florida and Toronto.
Yeah, another
rematch,
first round exit
rematch
for Toronto.
From last year.
That'd
be interesting.
It's.
It
what
is.
Here's what I'm confident
outside
in.
Of like three teams.
Yeah,
you could make a case for the other 13 to be like, yep, they're a legit contender.
I would say the ones I'm like pretty sure on that I would maybe bet money on, Rangers will beat the Caps, Hurricanes will beat the Islanders, and Vancouver over Nashville?
Dude,
question mark. Like, I don't know. I'm not.
See, that's a bracket buster. Right
I know.
There.
If you would have said that matchup like a month and a half ago, you'd be like, yeah, Vancouver. I don't know.
Nashville's been the best team in the league.
Well, look,
the last
like look
six
what
weeks.
That did too for with the Florida Panthers basically last year. Playing the last month like it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Nashville's kind of been doing the same thing, and they're coming in hot. They're coming in playoff mentality mode.
And Vancouver has been running away with that division
for
months.
I don't know.
And that's a relatively young team. A lot of guys going to be playing in their first playoff series. That's got upset written all over
it. Like 09 Hawks.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Maybe not
this
even.
Year's Vancouver team?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, but the 09 Hawks made it all the way to the
conference. Maybe 08
Hawks. Yeah, that Vancouver team might. It's a good point. It might just be like, you know, they get into the postseason. They've had this really good regular season, not knowing what their year was going to look like coming into this year, and then it might just be like, oh, like a shock kind of scenario where it's just like they get to the postseason and know, maybe, yeah, underperform.
They have Rick Tocchet, who played in a lot of NHL postseason games to kind of get. They do have some guys. You know, you have a JT Miller who's been through it.
Miller.
And they have a pretty darn good goaltender in Thatcher Demko that could bail them out if they have a little bit of the. What does our colleague Herb say? The
tight butthole syndrome?
Yeah, tight butthole.
Tight booty syndrome.
That happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll happen.
TBS.
TBS, yes.
not the TV
not
station.
Not very good. I don't know. I have no more animosity towards Vancouver. It's like gone.
That was the shortest, like, rivalry ever.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I wonder if they feel that way.
No, they don't.
Because they beat the Hawks once.
Yeah, but
so it's kind of in her mind. Maybe they've already cleared that hurdle.
But they never won a cup.
They never got those teams never got a cup, and those are their best teams in years.
Yeah,
so I would.
They needed seven games overtime of a seventh game to beat a Blackhawks team that got in on the last day because the Stars beat the Wild.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
we'll see,
but. They made it all the way to the Cup final where they choked in glorious fashion.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And burn their city down.
But what a great photo that was of the
kid outside the bank.
No, the couple making out in front of the fire. What a great photo.
Oh yeah, that was the Canucks.
That was 2011.
Yeah, that's right.
Canucks.
I think of the kid with the hockey stick screaming outside the bank.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Yeah,
it's
that
like
that was a crazy photo.
And this shattered window behind him.
Yeah,
right. Be more Canadian.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The other bit of good Hawks news, if you missed it, John Wideman and Troy Murray.
Yep.
Coming back. Each signed new 3-year deals.
Good. Troy at practice today. He was passing out $100 bills.
Here you go.
Oh, yeah.
like Dumb and Dumber. Here you go.
Very cool.
Must have missed that.
For Troy. Just with, you know, everything he's been through for the last couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah. Knowing that he's, you know, feeling good to keep doing this full seasons and all the traveling, and it's good. Troy is. Quickly became like my favorite person on the Blackhawk daily routine. I love having a chat with Troy every day. Him and Panger are they need their own podcast.
Yeah, that'd be fun. They've probably done one officially for the Hawks, but no one listens to that. Sorry, it's true. You mentioned everything Troy's been through, and I think back to that day where we were going from one ring to the other at Fifth Third. And he's walking really slow in front of everybody. And we're like, oh, God. Like, Troy must be having a rough day. And he turns around and starts laughing. And all this because no one passed him. Everyone's like, oh, give him some space. It must be a tougher day for him. And he just turns around like, you idiots. I love that guy. And that was like Troy was like, you jump onto the Hawks because, you know, Roenick or Chelios or whoever, like, your first beloved Hawk was. But then when you start watching and you become a fan, Troy became like my first, like, what would you call it? Like hipster favorite Hawk? I'm going to pick the guy that's not.
Everybody's got Roenick jerseys. I'm one.
Yeah,
of
I want a Troy Murray jersey. Yeah,
yeah.
Plus, he played in that band with Dan Hampton and that like Chicago Sports All Stars band.
Was Gary Fencek in that?
I don't remember.
I want to say
he played a saxophone.
I thought he was a horn player.
I got to go.
Well, I know Dan Hampton was in it, and when he used to host on The Score. He would never be in the studio. He would do it from his house. And during breaks, Hamp would go play the piano. You could hear him play. He's
Which is weird because he had the most grotesquely shaped hands.
Oh, God. All right, here you go. It was the Chicago Six Band. Hampton, Duerson, Peyton, Kurt Frazier, Gary Nyland, and Troy Murray.
Amazing.
Is that right?
That's amazing. That?
Sounds right. Yeah, awesome. I remember meeting Dan Hampton at an old job a lifetime ago. He was in the building, and I remember shaking his hand. It was just like, oh, this feels so weird.
Because
his fingers
pan.
Are like
fingers are not where they should be.
All facing opposite directions because they've hands have been broken many times.
I shook Brian Baldinger's hand. You know, he's the one with the classic
pinky. Oh, yeah. The pinky going, taking a right turn.
It's interesting.
That was older Packers great Jerry Kramer. When we would go to the Super Bowl, he always had a partnership with Blimpy Subs.
Oh, of course.
Like, everybody has something to sell. That's how you get the interviews done.
Yeah.
And he had, like, the fingers. He's like, have a sub, young man. And you're like, ooh. It's like the Kraken is holding that thing.
There's a, is it AJ Hawk that's on the McAfee show for?
Yeah, he adds a lot.
Linebacker. He's got, like, his two, like, fingers can't like close, so like when he makes a fist, it's like this, like it's just
so he cleans out his bong. It's
gross.
Some people are throwing in their favorite non-star.
Oh, Jeff Chance?
Hawks. Yes, I loved Jeff scoring Chance. I was a huge fan of that guy.
Jeff Chance is like a
number 11.
He was a good, like a really good third or fourth line center that never really like took a step as a scorer.
I loved him,
like a penalty killing defensive specialist forward.
Just did his job.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Fun. I have a fun Jeff Chance story. Not really, but kind of. a good friend of mine's dad's best friend used to be one of the like official scorers at the Hawks games for years and years and years, up until like maybe 5 years ago. And he invited me to do his NHL like playoff pool. And I get into it. He's like, oh, yeah, my buddy Jeff runs it. Blah, blah, blah. And there's like 75 people in this pool. It's run by Jeff Chance.
Wow.
So I was in Jeff Chance's Stanley Cup playoff pool back circa like 2015.
Get him on the show.
I was going to say, it's not when he was playing, right?
No. Yeah.
It was his interpreter that ran that one.
Right.
Just, nicely done.
What is he up to these days, I wonder, Jeff Chance?
Gambling.
running playoff pools, apparently.
Living in Ontario somewhere.
Yeah.
Gravely Diggs throwing us back to Lou Angotti.
Great name. Mark Lamont says Andrew Ladd. I can never fully embrace Andrew Ladd. Because he was traded for Tuomo Ruotu. So that was mine.
Well, he helped him
swerve
from
Minnesota, says Tom Lysiak.
Yeah, Lysiak, right?
Lysiak, yep. Yep.
Well, if you're some from Minnesota.
Oh, Jeff Chance is working with the Coyotes. Oh, no.
Nope.
Working for the Coyotes.
Hope he's got a real estate agent in Salt Lake City. If you're from Minnesota, there's a chance there's at least one NHL player from your hometown.
On your block.
Yeah. there's a really good neighborhood. Chance.
Yeah.
You've got some players.
Speaking of Coyotes, we talked about it on the watch along, but not officially on the podcast. So we want to dive into that conversation just a little bit.
Yeah. So I would really encourage everybody, if you're looking for the real lowdown on what's going on with the Coyotes, check out the PHNX Coyotes emergency podcast from yesterday.
You're going to get the most information possible.
Yeah. They had Frank Saravalli on, they had Elliot Friedman on. And first of all, for us, watching our three pals, Petey and Leah and Craig, pretty much learning in real time that their team is very likely not going to exist at the end of next week was heart-wrenching. And then watching Saravalli and Friedman break that news to them and, like, try to do it as gently as they could. But Friedman basically said, like, they want to make this decision by next week.
Yeah.
And
they kind of have to.
They can't, like, the NHL basically says, look, we are willing to be patient, had this last thing, this vote gone through that everyone was expecting to go through. Like, okay, then you see a light at the end of the tunnel with Mullett. Now, so earlier this week, or maybe it was late last week, there was news of this land auction that's happening that the Coyotes are expected to bid on and win
in June.
But that extends Mullett at least another year, probably two.
Right.
And the NHL is like, I'm sorry, no. Mm-hmm. It's just not feasible for us to do that. So it really looks like they're moving to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So did I hear this correctly that the plan might be, I don't want to say is, might be, they move the Coyotes to Salt Lake City starting next year, and then 3 years from now when that arena is built,
Arizona gets an expansion?
I heard that, yes.
There's a potential for the current Coyotes owner, Alex Morello, to be given an expansion franchise down the road, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, that would go back to Arizona, that would be in Arizona as an expansion franchise, as far as I understand it. That's such a backwards decision, I would think, because the whole problem with the Coyotes over time has been that they've never had an ownership group that took the Coyotes seriously enough to be a competitive NHL team, and including this current owner. You go back to the referendum that was, what was that, last summer?
Last May,
was going on. And again, our PHNX group laid it out perfectly that the ownership group got outspent and beaten out by a basically a group that was categorically reporting and campaigning on false information regarding the arena deal.
Shocking.
And ended up losing that vote. So if you're a Coyotes fan and you look at this ownership group and you say, well, you didn't do enough to care to solidify, even if you thought you were in a good spot with exit polls or whatever, about the arena vote, like, you have to make damn sure, taking back Sunday, that you are not going to lose that vote, because they had no backup plan. This land auction just kind of like formulated, and it was like, oh, maybe this might work out, and now the NHL has basically pulled the plug. It's incredibly sad from a personal perspective to see, you know, our friends at PHNX have to go through with this. We've all said that moving the team from an NHL standpoint has probably been overdue, but it's difficult to have a team move, and you heard the reports of the players being like, we've had no communication about this from our management and our ownership group about this happening. They were learning through social media what was happening, which is such a horrible look.
And Petey, who is a former Coyotes video coach
for many
years,
was
battling with Frank Saravalli all week, saying like, "Dude, you're out of your element here," because I have talked to people in the organization who've told me these rumors aren't true, and Petey had to do a mea culpa before they talked to Frank last night, because the Coyotes sources he had were flat out lying to him.
Yeah,
they were and Craig. They were telling them both, like, no, this isn't true. We can do it. No, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And Saravalli had it a week ago, and we're all kind of like, well, this is weird. Frank's the only one that has it. Then Emily Kaplan got it yesterday, and then that's when the floodgates opened.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so it's going to be – so I guess the idea would be like the Cleveland Browns move to Baltimore and then reassemble as the Cleveland Browns years later.
It's not a market problem.
Exactly. It's an ownership issue.
Yeah. Like, you can make hockey work in Arizona as long as you have a group that's leading that organization that wants to make hockey work in Arizona.
Yeah. Geography has very little to do with it.
Yeah.
The
Texas
Sharks, when the Sharks were great, had full arenas every night.
Hockey in California has survived and thrived. Nashville. Hockey in Dallas.
Carolina.
Survived and thrived. Florida.
Because they win.
Like, you know, you have, yes, exactly.
They
you
go
have
to the playoffs every year.
You have to look at Vegas. They stormed into the NHL and said, we're going to do whatever it takes to win. Even if it's not a system that works long term, churn it year over year. We need to win.
Yeah.
Arizona's never had that.
Yeah, it's sad, and I hope if the Coyotes do come back into existence 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it might be, that if it is this current ownership group, that they get their shit together and can actually run a team that's competitive.
Yeah.
Or it's someone that is like, I want to do this the right way, an adventure capitalist that just wants to be a winning hockey owner. Great. That's the dream.
Right.
That's a dream. Like, that was what we all thought Tom Ricketts was going to be. This billionaire owner is like, oh, man, I've always been a Cubs fan. Now I can afford to buy the team. here's all my money. Let's win, win, win.
Whoops.
It hasn't really been. I mean, they won under Tom Ricketts, in fairness.
They did.
But it hasn't been the same. He's not been like
Theo Epstein than Tom.
Yeah, he's not really been on a Dodgers and spending level like we would all hope he would.
No. He got his championship, and now he's like, my money.
Yeah.
My only comment, last comment on the Coyotes thing before we wrap up, and I said it in our Die Hard Discord yesterday. Don't go dancing on graves, all right?
Yeah.
Be better than that, because when you spend time behind the curtain like we do, and you do it for a few years, you realize that these professional teams, regardless of the sport, are far more than just the players you see on the field or on the ice, and the coaching, the people who get in front of the camera. These teams have hundreds and hundreds of people who work for them,
yep,
who are living paycheck to paycheck, who are trying to support their family and raise their kids. They have media members who cover them,
yep,
who are trying to do the same thing. People that aren't getting paid millions of dollars to show up every day. You know, your ticket reps, your media people, they're either going to have to pick up and move to Salt Lake City or be out of a job completely. You know, our pals over at PHNX, who knows what their future holds for them. I have no doubt they're all going to figure something out and be great because they're awesome at what they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have a soft landing when this is all up. But there are people whose lives are getting completely flipped upside down because of this. So regardless of what you think of the team or the bad ownership or whatever, just don't be a dick. It's not that hard. Like,
right.
You know, just there are people that are really, their lives are completely turned around in the last 24 days, and finding out about it the way they are, it's just, it's not a good situation. So there's no reason to just, and especially, you know, just, there's just, don't be a dick. That's, I'll just,
it's the ability to, and this is not just about sports, it's about just life in general. The ability to look beyond what's right in front of your face, right? Like, oh, the Coyotes talked shit about the Hawks winning Connor Bedard, so therefore I hope bad things happen to the Coyotes. That is like the very simple looking through the viewfinder angle here.
Right.
Zoom out.
Yeah.
Zoom out and look at the things that are affected and the causes that go into it and the people whose lives are impacted. It's like that in every element of life. If you see a guy on a corner who is asking you for change, chances are it's not because he's lazy.
Right.
Right? Like, there's more to it. There's ripple effects. There's reasons things happen. Nuance, empathy. Take these things into account before you jump into a chat or jump on Twitter and make fun of people. It's one thing to say, your team sucks. Your team sucks. Boo. Yeah, that's fine. That's fandom. That's rivalry. But when it gets personal, and when personal lives are affected and human beings are affected, look, even if you don't feel bad for Clayton Keller, he's going to be fine.
Mm.
It still is a shock. He's got to pick up his family and go. Yeah. Maybe they got kids in school. Like, all these things.
Well, yeah. Think about
lives are uprooted. It's what they sign up for.
Not to mention, like, the arena workers. Like, those people, you know, like, people who run in concessions. Like, it's more than just the 100 people that work for the team. Like,
well, at Mullet Arena, they still got all the ASU events that are going to happen. So,
okay, fine.
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But yes, your point still makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, we got to wrap up. A couple things here.
I did put the link to their episode in the chat.
I was just going
to
say that. But thank you for doing that, Law. And Sunday post-game, Nick Foligno is going to jump on after the Hurricanes game. So look forward to that. We'll have Nick on Sunday, but we'll talk to you tomorrow post-game after Hawks and Preds. Should be fun.
It will be a NHL hockey game.
Yeah. Well, I saw a lot of people excited about tomorrow's game because of dumbass Darwin Murphy. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's go.
It's Friday night at an NHL game.
Always fun.
Worst places to be in the world.
Exactly right. All right, thanks a lot for running the show. Thanks, everybody, for participating in the chat. Please do us a favor. Smash that like button for us on your way out. And do go check out that PHNX emergency pod. Get yourself educated on this Coyote situation because it's very complicated. And, you know, just think about the people affected. You can see their faces as it's going on. It's tough.
Yeah, and it's more than just, like, this just got dropped on them. Like, this has been a long process, and it's been, as Petey and Craig and Leah all mentioned, like, they've been so close to moving so many times, and now it's just like, this feels like the real deal. So it's tough. Hope for the best for them.
Yep. All right, we'll talk to everybody tomorrow after the game. Talk to you later on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Y'all silly like the mayor.